So good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this call. And I'm joined today by our Chief Financial Officer, Stephen Oxley. Hopefully, you'll all seen our announcement this morning that we've agreed the sale of our health business to Altaris Capital Partners, a leading healthcare investment firm, for an enterprise value of £325 million. During the call this morning, I want to take you through the rationale and transaction details and give you the opportunity to ask any questions you may have. As the world transitions to more sustainable technologies, we're focusing our portfolio on core growth areas, specifically businesses driving growth from climate change solutions, including hydrogen technologies, the decarbonization of chemicals, and the creation of a circular economy. We have a disciplined approach to capital allocation focused on those areas of the business where we can deliver growth and attractive returns, of course, with an appropriate balance of shareholder return and risk. Back in April of this year, we announced the strategic review of our health business. And following this review, we have concluded that health is no longer core to JM and have today announced its sale. Health operates in different markets from the rest of the group, and we need to focus our resources on more attractive growth areas. While this business has good long-term prospects, near-term trading has been challenging, largely due to labor market shortages in the US and to pricing pressure in our specialty opioids generics business. In addition, we would need to invest significantly, meaning today's announcement will avoid around £150 million of capital expenditure over the next 3 years. Altaris is a specialized investment firm entirely focused on the healthcare industry. It has completed 25 carve-out and corporate partnership transactions to date and has a strong track record in building companies that deliver innovation and efficiency to the healthcare system. We believe that Altaris is an excellent fit for health management, employees, customers and broader stakeholders, and also the right partner to drive future value in this business. And we will benefit from future upside by retaining around a 30% interest in the business. So looking at the structure of the deal in more detail. We have sold health for an enterprise value of £325 million, an implied multiple of around 10 times EBITDA for the last 12 months to 30 September 2021. Net cash proceeds are expected to be around £150 million on completion. And there's also a £50 million payment contingent on achievement of certain performance targets in fiscal year 23 and fiscal year 24, and an additional £50 million in deferred consideration, which will accrue interest at 8% per annum. As mentioned, we want to participate in the future value creation and have therefore retained around a 30% equity stake in the new holding company, valued today at £75 million. Altaris has a successful track record, and we would expect significant additional value over time from this equity interest. Completion and expected proceeds are expected in mid-2022 and will be subject to usual regulatory approvals. So hopefully this gives you some context on the structure of this agreement and that you heard it this time, and hopefully we can now take questions if you have any, and apologies once again for the technical problems at the start.
Thank you. To ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, please press the pound or hash key. Your question comes on the line of Alex Stewart from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, Alex. I hope you heard it the second time.
I did. It was all the better for having to wait for it. Thank you very much. I had a few questions, actually, mostly on the structure of the transaction. So my math suggested that £150 straight up plus £50 contingent on performance plus £50 million. That's almost 80% of the company rather than 70%. I wonder if you could just clarify that. I'm a little bit confused about this loan note structure and how it works and why that's there rather than just receiving the money up front. You can maybe talk about that. And then you put a note to the release saying Altaris includes the right to an 8% cumulative return in preference to JM's equity interest. I assume that that's the same thing. It's not clear whether that's an 8% return on the whole deal, or just that loan note. And then finally, which isn't part of the deal structure, you talk to the interim results about some of these issues with health being transitory, particularly the loss of key personnel, regulated personnel, which stops some of the sales of your drugs. If it is transitory, why sell the asset now rather than wait until those issues have passed and you can sort of realise a more fair or sustainable level of earnings before you try and sell the business? So any thoughts on those would be really interesting. Thank you.
Sure. So look, I'll start with the sort of why now, and then I'll pass over to Stephen to just go through the deal structure, if that's all right. Look, I think we said a few minutes at the results, yes, that there was some challenges in the business, but we absolutely looked at the strategic review. We thought and we concluded that this business was ultimately non-core to JM, and we wanted to focus on these other areas of growth that we have across the business. As I mentioned already, in hydrogen technologies, decarbonization of chemicals, and in circularity, and of course, continuing to deliver the cash flow from clean air. And the work that would be required to restructure and navigate through the challenges ahead for the health business, the capital requirement that we had to put into the business, meant that we felt that actually it was better for us to sell to a specialist company who will provide real focus on the health business and give us the opportunity to participate in some of the upside in the future. And that was a better thing for us to do today, and allow us to focus, as I said, our resources and our management attention on the other areas of growth across the company. And that's why we decided to do it today. Stephen, do you want to go through a little bit of the deal structure?
Yeah, Alex, good morning. Let me walk you through that. So what we've said is that the deal has an enterprise value of $325 million. For us, that's $150 million in cash on completion. There's a $50 million loan note that we pick up, and then $50 million contingent consideration. That leaves a balance of $75 million of equity, being our share at 30%. That obviously means that the Altaris share at 70% is worth $175 million. The way that works is that they're giving us $150 million and putting $25 million of working capital into the business. So that's the structure. And as Robert said, we expect the deal to complete in our Q1. I think, Alex, you then asked a question about the, I think, the preferred stock, which I suspect you picked up in the footnote to our release. So the way that the deal is structured is that we expect to realize significant sort of value through the transaction. That value, of course, when Altaris comes to sell it, will be split 70-30. The deal structure, though, does have some downside protection for Altaris if the deal or the business does not perform. And that means that their equity has preference over Johnson Matthey's equity, and they have a roll-up cumulative 8% return, which protects the downside for them.
Okay, so in other words, you pay out 70-30 once you've hit the 80% annualized return threshold.
Yeah, when they come to sell the deal, if the deal is obviously more than the value of their equity rolled up, then it will pay out 70-30.
Okay, and on this loan note, sorry, it's been dotted, but who's receiving the interest? 8% interest.
So we will receive 8% interest cumulative on our $50 million loan note.
And why didn't they just give you the cash up front?
Well, from their perspective, they've obviously wanted to limit the day one cash. That's the way that we have structured it.
Part of the negotiation. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much. That's really helpful. See you
on. Okay. Thanks, Alex.
Your next question is from the line of Andrew Studd from UBS. Please ask your question.
Morning, Andrew.
Yeah, morning, Robert. Morning, Stephen. Yeah, simple question. So the joint venture, which it is, I guess, even if they're the controlling partner, how much will it be levered? So on day one, what's the net debt to EBITDA of the JV? I'm just trying to think of the risk of not getting those future payments.
So in on day one, we mentioned that they will put in 25 million of equity. Sorry, so they will put in 25 million in additional to the 150 cash. And that's the only initial leverage that will be in the business. So it'll be not very levered at all.
Well, that's on, Robert, that's on day one.
On day one.
Presumably there will be a net debt to EBITDA number that you're attached to from day one, right?
Yeah, the way it will work, so on day one it won't be levered. I would expect them to lever up the business at some point after that. That will obviously have normal, you know, banking covenants and restrictions around that on normal commercial terms.
Yeah.
From our perspective, we will not equity account for this business. We do not have significant influence over the business, so we'll hold this as a trade investment at 75 million. Obviously, when the business is sold and assuming the business trades well, that's when we'd expect to realise 30% of our gain opposite the trade investment.
Okay.
It won't be a complicated JV that affects Johnson Matthey's ongoing accounting.
No. Yeah. Okay. I get that. And then just to follow up, the earnout isn't detailed. Can you detail that? How do you get the 50 million?
Yeah, it's an earnout based on financial performance. It's actually a gross profit performance in the first 2 years. That's obviously there to recognise the expectation that the business will reflate, given some of the issues that it's seen in the recent period.
Yeah, and then sorry, final question: the 75 million equity stake that you're valuing, that's on the 10 times EBITDA. Is that how you've calculated it? Or, I mean, I suppose let me ask it another way: how do we think about the upside and downside risk to that 75 million when you come to sell?
Yeah, well, the 75 million is essentially the portion of the enterprise value that we're not receiving in cash or other forms of consideration. The way I'd think about the 75 is that Altaris will target a meaningful return on its investment over what period that might be, probably 4 years or so. They are typically targeting 3+ times investment, maybe more, on the basis that the investment or the business is depressed as of now. That gives you an indication of where the 75 could move to.
And the earliest point at which you could sell that?
It will be Altaris's sale of the business.
It's their decision, but do they not have a stop date? Or
they don't have a stop date. They don't have a stop date, Andrew. It'll be when they think they can maximise their return from their investments.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for taking the question.
Thanks, Andrew.
Once again, for any questions, please press *1 on your telephone. Your next question comes from the line of Sebastian Bray from Berenberg. Please ask your question.
Morning,
Hello,
Sebastian.
Good morning. Hello, good morning, Robert, and thank you for taking my questions. I would have two, please. Just to come back to Andrew's earlier point on upside-downside scenarios for this stake, if this deal looks like it's going to go well from Altaris, my understanding of how this mid-market PE sometimes works is that the original owners of a company can be progressively bought out, i.e., let's say after 2 years, Altaris could come back to Johnson Matthey and say, well, we like what's happening here. Let's give you some cash for the remaining 30%, as opposed to waiting for an external buyer. Could this happen in this case? And my second question is more on Johnson Matthey as a potential acquirer. Are there any, how to put this, do you have your nose in the air, so to speak, for smaller bolt-on technological acquisitions, given the balance sheet is improving and their proceeds coming in? Or are all of these sorts of activities effectively on hold until the new CEO joins? Thank you.
So, thank you, Sebastian, for your questions. Look, as far as JM's concerned at the moment, we're carrying on business as usual. We're not stopping. And of course, if we see attractive technologies and things that make sense for our business, focusing on our three pillars that we talked about before, obviously we would look to invest in those. On the small sort of small bolt-on technology type areas, I do think a larger deal or anything like that, which is not our core area anyway, is unlikely to happen. But absolutely, from a technology point of view, for bolt-ons, we would continue to look at those, and indeed are. Stephen, do you want to answer the question about the sales process?
Yeah, of course. Morning, Sebastian. In answer to the question, no, there are not any buyout provisions in the sale agreement. Of course, Alfaris could come to us at any point with an offer, and we'd just assess that if and when that came.
Thank you. Could I just ask one more on buyback? Can I firstly just confirm it's still the intention is in calendar 2022 as opposed to fiscal 2022 to start 200 million, and there is no change to the plan, either the size or the plan timing? And in terms of timing, what time of the year, calendar year 2022, are we talking about for this? Thank you.
Yeah, so there's absolutely no change to the buyout I announced with our half-year results, the 200 million. That will commence, or we said it would commence in the new year. Actually, we can commence now on that. We were holding back given this transaction for obvious reasons. We will conclude that, Sebastian, as quickly as we can through FY 22. So nothing changes as a result of that. The reason I've not updated that, of course, is that this transaction will complete in FY 23, which is after our new chief executive has joined. So I think it's appropriate that we review the strategic options for the business, including investment opportunities and indeed capital allocation again at that stage. But you should certainly expect the 200 million buyback to fully conclude.
And just to clarify, you're going to start buying back stock Monday next week, or what is the
yeah,
way
we
to
will
think about
look to start
timing?
Look to start straight away.
Well, let's not be precise on the exact date, but we're absolutely now free, unencumbered to start the process, and we'll work with our brokers to do so.
That's understood. Thank you for helping with my questions.
Very good. Are there any other questions?
Once again, for any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your question comes from the line of Ria Kotecha. Please ask your question.
Hi. Thanks for the conference call this morning.
Morning.
I'm just asking about the performance targets that you must achieve by 23-24. Are you able to give us some more color on this? At the previous results, you abandoned the 100 million operating profit by 2026. And given sort of the equity structure of 70-30, who is then sort of really responsible for hitting these targets, and just some more color on what they sort of look like, if you're able to give that, please?
Yeah, look, so the targets have been set, obviously, in the sale and purchase agreement. The business will be run from completion under Altaris's ownership as the majority holder. The targets are struck on a gross profit number over those 2 years. In other words, it is a trading, business as opposed to anything that somebody could do with the cost base below trading. I'm not going to give you the precise, or not going to give you the targets, but that's the way we've structured it to make sure that we can benefit from the reflating and early performance of the business as it turns around.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Unfortunately, I don't think we can give you any more details on that one. It was based on the business plan, but that's all we can say at the moment. Operator, any other questions? I don't think the team can see any more.
There are no further questions. Please continue.
Well, look, thank you very much for dialing in. I once again, sincere apologies for the problem at the start of the call. But thank you very much for dialing in. And we're all in slightly different places working from home in this strange world. Let's hope next time we can be together. And thank you very much to you all. Have a very happy holidays and see you in the new year. Take care.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.